The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome. You made it. It's Friday, and not only is it Friday, it's Friday on the cusp of Memorial Day weekend. So hopefully you got all sorts of good things planned. Weather hopefully will be cooperating with whatever you want to do. And so there you go, Mr. Nick Christensen. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning, and we'd be remiss not to say happy birthday to Peter.
I got two more days yet.
Yeah, but you said, you know, you got cookies today, and we're not going to be on the air in 2 days. So, and we can't say happy birthday on Tuesday because that's just lame. Your birthday will have already happened.
Yes, so. Yes.
Happy almost birthday, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be 362 years old. So just in case you're keeping track.
I was saying, aren't you like 47 for the 25th time or something like
no,
that?
No, I don't do that way. I was over-exaggerate just so that people will think, oh, he's not that old.
Fair.
But anyways. Yeah, my birthday is coming up on the 22nd. Pardon, the 24th. God, I knew what day I was born. And I will be, shall I tell him?
Yeah, you can tell. I'm not going to tell them.
I'll be 73, ladies and gentlemen. 73 glorious years old, and that's it approximates my IQ. So the older I get, the smarter I get. See,
that's not good for me if that's the case. I'm a pretty dumb guy then. Yeah. So are you guys doing anything on Sunday, or any plans, or is it a surprise for you?
Well, no. Actually, what we want to do is run up to either Stevensville or Polson and play golf. My wife is neither of us are very good, but we both enjoy playing. So we're going to try to find one of those. I realize it's going to be pretty crowded because of the holiday. But
well, the nice thing about like the old nine is what they call it in Polson, because they got the two courses there. They have the 18 holes, and then they have the old nine. The old nine is just first come, first serve. No tee times, no nothing. You just, now I've been there. we've tried to play before on like holiday weekends, mainly 4th of July, and we've, you know, driven out there, and I mean, just a line of people, but I don't know for Memorial Day if that would be the case. I'm not sure.
Anyway, well, it is open phones, ladies and gentlemen. We would love to hear from you at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We have open phones for the first few minutes here, and then we're going to be visiting with Henry Kriegel. He's going to be joining us from Americans for Prosperity, and kind of a regular feature on our Friday Talk Back show. Because Americans for Prosperity, a very important organization. And of course, everybody wants to be prosperous. So we're looking forward to hearing from Henry, hopefully here in the next few minutes. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we have all sorts of other things going on. So how are we doing here?
Well, that's Henry, so we'll get to him in about 1 minute.
Right, gotcha.
But yeah, for the rest of the rundown for today, right after we talk with Henry, we'll talk with him for about 10 minutes. Then it'll be Susan Campbell-Renault and her special guest talking about Memorial Day events around the state and here in Missoula. And then we're actually going to get our crime report at 8:50. We kind of moved that time slot. That used to be right at 9 o'clock, but we were having to cut Matt Jennings off too much, so I'm like, we need to add just a little bit more time to that. So that's going to be moved to right at the end of the hour.
Right.
And then 9 to 10 will be City Talk. So it's a busy, busy day today.
Now, in case you're wondering about City Talk, for this Friday is going to be, of course, our friend Ginny Miriam, communications director for the city of Missoula, has scheduled Dylan Barbash, who is the specialist called the Built for Zero Specialist with the what they're calling the houseless programs in the city of Missoula. So we're looking forward to that, see what their progress is, trying to find homes for as many people as possible in as creative a way as possible. So we're looking forward to that. And, of course, by the way, this is a call-in talk show. So give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. You are listening to the Friday, May 22nd edition of TalkBack. Thanks for joining us.
We'll be right back. Montana.
Dennis Bragg with the updated Town Square weather, getting some better definition now on this forecast for the holiday weekend. Mostly sunny on Friday with a high near 73 degrees, just light variable breezes. Looking for partly cloudy skies in the evening with a cool low around 42 degrees. Saturday will warm up, mostly sunny again, topping out just under 80 degrees. Sunday turns even warmer and sunny with high around 81. Memorial Day looks good too, highs around 80, but clouds increasing later in the day.
In the U.S., a vehicle is stolen every 31 seconds. Protect your car. Remove valuables. Roll up your windows, lock your doors, and take your keys. Report crime to the police. And if it's insurance fraud, contact NICB at reportinsurancefraud.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back for this Friday, May 22nd. Get on the cusp of the Memorial Day weekend. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning. And we are honored to have with us Henry Kriegels with Americans for Prosperity. Welcome back, Henry. Good to have you, sir. How are you?
It's great to be back with you, gentlemen. We're doing great. You know, as you know, we're running hard through the tape. 11 days left for the primary elections here in the state of Montana, some of the most contentious elections I've ever been a part of in my 30-plus years here in the state.
So tell us what Americans Prosperity stands for and the type of folks that you're promoting in this election.
Yeah, great question. Americans for Prosperity is all about enacting legislation that enhances the freedom and opportunity for all Montanans. We look for transformational policies to improve the quality of life of people so that they can each pursue the American dream as they see fit. And we see elections as a means to an end. We need policy majorities in the legislature, not just a partisan majority like the Republican majority that is currently in place. Is not really a true Republican majority, because you've got like 9 senators and around a dozen House members who side with the Democrats on most major legislation to form a new policy coalition that undermines our goals of having limited government, less taxes, less spending, and more individual freedom.
All right, and so how are you working that so the people can understand exactly who you're endorsing? Does it matter if they're Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or whatever? Is it simply their point of view that matters?
Well, it's whether they're policy aligned. And so we engage in an interview process. These candidates who are looking for our endorsement, they complete surveys. If they are incumbents or have served in the past seeking a new office, we look at their voting records. We like to look at actionable evidence, objective evidence, the votes being the best evidence, their public statements being second to that. And if they are aligned, and if they have a pathway to victory, and if we are certain that they will work their campaigns hard, that we're not going to carry them literally across the finish line, and if they engage in civil and respectful engagement in the process, we're good to go. Obviously, we've got a certain amount of resources to work with. And so during this campaign season, although I would have liked to have been able to endorse more, we have endorsed 13 candidates for office. And these candidates have shown that they are for limited government. I can tell you this, their opponents who have a voting track record have voted for the largest budget increase in state history, 13.5%.
Wow.
They have voted to expand Obama's Medicaid expansion program, giving these hard-earned tax dollars for health care for single, able-bodied, childless adults slightly above the poverty level. These people should be incentivized to work and be able to either afford health care or have that provided through their employers. These people, these candidates whom we are opposing with these quality candidates, have also voted for this property tax reform bill, which is nothing more than a progressive tax shift to those who own more than one home or large commercial properties. And the relief is likely going to last for maybe one time around.
Well, now, Henry,
spending is not being curbed.
Who are the individuals specifically that you are promoting? And does does party play a second part to that simply from their stances and various issues?
We don't look at the party affiliation. Again, we look at, are they policy aligned and can they win?
Okay.
It turns out that they all happen to be right of center. That's just the way it looks. It works. But during the legislative session, we work with anybody to do good, no one to do harm. We've worked across the aisle on things like criminal justice reform or housing and zoning reform. We look forward to doing that more often. But during these primaries, here's our list of men and women we're supporting.
Go for it.
Representative Zach Wirth in Senate District 9 versus Representative Lou Jones. That's number one race of concern for us, Lou Jones being the leader of the Solutions Caucus and being responsible for incredible growth over his 20 years of service in the legislature, many of that as either Senate Finance Chair or House Appropriations Chair. Steve LaPram in Senate District 42, Representative Kathy Love in Senate District 43, Caleb Hinkle in Senate District 34, we've got Trevor Funseth, who is a native-born Montanan tax attorney in House District 21 in the Great Falls area. Trevor Walter in Gallatin County, HD 69, over Representative Ken Walsh. Trish Schreiber in HD 76, and she's probably the foremost promoter of education, freedom, and reform in the state of Montana. Linda Harmon up there in the Highland in HD 29. Finley Warden, HD 13, young man who exposed the Montana, the unions providing DEI education to our public educators going undercover. The young man has lots of courage. We're supporting him because he's a champion of education freedom. Kim Daly, HD 85, over there in Hamilton. John South, a veteran and former Border Patrol agent up there in the Highline in HD 28. And that rounds out our entire list. Again, these guys have been thoroughly vetted for policy alignment. They're working their campaigns hard, and we believe that we can help them cross the finish line, especially with the support of those listeners around the state of Montana. Again, we're going up against big government moderates who voted to increase the budget by 13.5%, support of Obama's Medicaid expansion, the bogus property tax reform bill, and other bad legislation. And they're getting support from progressive left-wing PACs from out of state.
No,
Henry, local PAC, and it's a tough battle.
We're running out of time, but we just have a few, about half a minute left. How do folks contact Americans for Prosperity? Real quick.
They can check us out on BigSkyBlueprint.com is our website, BigSkyBlueprint.com, which shows our policy agenda for 2027 and beyond and tells you all about our local chapter. We've got staff throughout the state of Montana.
And Henry, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it, sir, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're gonna come right back. Stay with us. We've got more on the way with TalkBack. And our number is 406-721-1290 on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
If you're ready for
75 years of research,
75 years of policy,
75 years of opportunity,
75 years of freedom.
This is 75 years of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Join us at mda75.org.
Hey, welcome back. This is TalkBack, and it's the Friday edition of TalkBack. Glad to have you along. Peter Christian here. Mr. Nick Christensen is taking your phone calls this morning. And we have a dear friend of our show, Susan Campbell-Renaud, joining us here in the studio this morning. Susan, good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Good morning, Missoula.
And you have brought with you a very tall guest today.
Yes.
David Lay is joining us this morning, Commandant of the VFW Post 209. And welcome. Good to have you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you guys.
And, of course, I'm sure you probably get tired of hearing this, but thank you for your service to our country.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a real honor.
You bet. All right, let's talk about your program, what you folks are doing.
Well, it starts out at 7 a.m. on Monday, May 25th, which is our legal Memorial Day. And the 30th is technically the historical Memorial Day, but Memorial Day is the 25th of May, and it will be at Western Montana State Veterans Cemetery. This is a very quiet service. We do not have shooting. It is an opportunity for families that have lost loved ones who honorably served in the military but then decided to commit suicide. So it is a very meditative service. The Vet Center comes out. Anton Johnson comes with his van and is there for counseling. We also have coffee and treats. And so it's a very lovely service. And then we go over to the VFW for the start of the tour around Missoula. And
it's become famous, by the way. You actually have more services during Memorial Day than I believe any other city in the country.
It is true. Yeah. In fact, Anton Johnson and I have said we must file with Guinness World Record. But we never have done that. But I brought David because he is a living, breathing example of why we do Memorial Day, because he lost loved ones that he served with. And all of our services are dedicated because Memorial Day is not Veterans Day. It is an opportunity to pay tribute to the people who died in combat, and not just died, but died in combat. And because of 9/11, we have added a tribute at Rose Park to the people who were killed that were first responders. And so we do that. But I want David to say something about what Memorial Day means to him.
Yeah, Memorial Day originally started after the Civil War, 1865, 1866 is generally accepted as when it started, and originally started as Decoration Day, where families of the fallen would go and decorate the tombstones. And so that is what today, or what Monday signifies. It's an opportunity to honor the fallen, and we have a couple ways of doing that. We honor them through going through these ceremonies and paying tribute with our honor guard. The Missoula VFW Post 209 is honored and grateful to have our honor guard to join the American Legion Post 27's color guard to go around and provide full military honors at all these events that Susan's lined up for us. And
what would we do without Susan, right?
No.
I know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I interrupted.
I couldn't do anything without the people that are in the honor and color guards, let me tell you.
All right. And I mean, you talk about all that Susan does. Sometimes she dons a jacket and she's out there with a rifle and the honor guard as well when we're short a couple people.
No, that's true. I'm really a good shot.
The VFW honor guard, it has the distinction. They did 119 veteran funerals in Missoula County last year. And it's a group of all volunteers that go to these funerals, are contacted by the funeral directors, and provide these final honors for the fallen.
Well, and I think, you don't know this, but now you will. Peter and I both are kindred spirits because our parents were in the Marines. And there is a special bond when you have had parents that were in the Marines. My father really struggled on Memorial Day because he lost so many buddies in battle. And he was in the Battle of Iwo Jima and the Battle of Okinawa and 3 years in Korea. And then he was in Vietnam. And he was the commander at Da Nang. Wow. So he saw a lot of bad stuff. And I would have been named Peter if I'd been a boy. So it was my duty to honor people. And when a World War II veteran came to me in 1993, very sick and getting older and older, and asked me to take over, I said, Yes, I will do that. And the veteran community has been so supportive and in helping keep this going.
Well, with Susan being here, if people have listened to the show for any length of time, they know that I refer to her as Mrs. America because you are always dressed up. Whenever you come to our radio station or any event, you're always dressed up in regalia, yeah, celebrating our country. And I can't think of anybody who exemplifies patriotism more than Susan Campbell-Renaud. And of course, we're also thrilled to have David with us joining us here in the studio. David Lay, commander of VFW Post 209 here in Missoula. We're going to come right back. We'd love to have some phone calls from you folks at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, this is the Friday edition of Talk Back right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. So we'd love to have you give us a call, 406-721-1290. We'll be right back.
You've just had an...
Dennis Bragg with the updated Town Square weather, getting some better definition now on this forecast for the holiday weekend. Mostly sunny on Friday with a high near 73 degrees, just light variable breezes. Looking for partly cloudy skies in the evening with a cool low around 42 degrees. Saturday will warm up, mostly sunny again, topping out just under 80 degrees. Sunday turns even warmer and sunny with high around 81. Memorial Day looks good too, highs around 80, but clouds increasing later in the day.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible with support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we, because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. As a drummer, I'm digging that. So,
yeah, I know. I'm like, bam, rocking out. Yeah, that's cool.
All right, 406-721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Susan Campbell-Renaud joining us here in the studio this morning, along with David Lay. And so, Susan, you've got a whole list of events coming up for Memorial Day. What's
I'm
going to
go through them quickly, but I really want David to talk about a really cool program that's going to open up at the VFW Post 209 at the end of the summer. But I'm going to go through this quickly. Okay. So anybody who wants the schedule can see it on the website of KGVO or Town Square Media, because this is statewide. And I also want to say to anybody anywhere in Montana, check with your local American Legion or VFW Post, because there are events throughout the state and I want you to participate in them, because we want to honor the families that were left behind of the soldiers and the Marines and the sailors and the airmen that were killed in combat. In Missoula, we have at 9:30 in the morning a wreath laying service, and that will be with full military honors. Then at 10 a.m., we're at the Van Buren Street Bridge, which is next to Eastgate Shopping Center. Then at 10:30, we're at the courthouse. We retire a flag. All of this is with full military honors. 11:15 a.m., we are at the Fort Missoula Post, Old Post Military Cemetery, which is a national cemetery. Right. Then we arrive at 11:30 in the morning for a 12 noon flyover of Miss Montana.
I love it.
And I love it because
my good buddy Brian Douglas is one of the pilots.
I know, and he comes on periodically as a guest. I always love hearing from him. And that is going to be a wonderful ceremony. That attracts the largest number of people. Mm-hmm. And then at 1 p.m., we go to Sunset Memorial for a flag retirement. retirement and full military honors, plus lunch. They serve lunch to anyone who shows up.
Right.
And then 2:15, we go to Missoula City Cemetery. 2:30, we go to St. Mary's Annex Cemetery. 3 p.m., we go to St. Mary's Cemetery. 3:15, please remember this one, we go to Rose Park and we put in excess of 20 wreaths down. Wow. And we walk around, and I think Miss Bitterroot is coming. The beautiful beauty queen is going to walk with us.
Cool.
And I'm hoping Michelle Bedard comes to help us with this. She had said she might show up.
Right.
And then 4 p.m. is the Iraq-Afghanistan service at the University of Montana. And that will be the 12th service in one day.
Okay, we've got a bunch of folks waiting on the phone. We have two of them, actually. Jeff is first to call. Jeff, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Good morning, Montana. Hey, Peter, congratulations on the 34th anniversary of your 39th birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Up here in Polson, we are lucky enough to, within just a couple of houses of where I live, to have a World War II vet, Jim Saville, who just celebrated his 100th birthday.
Aww.
And his goal is to be the last World War II survivor standing. And so far, he's well on his way to doing that.
Good for him.
We're going to have our celebration here. And I just want folks to realize how blessed we are, how blessed Missoula is to have Susan arranging all this stuff. But I imagine around Montana, there's all sorts of large town and small town celebrations for this.
Yes.
And I would like people to let us know about those sometime in the future. What do you do for this sort of thing? Because this is not just a Missoula thing or a Mission Valley thing. This is a Montana thing. And we have the most vets in the country, I think, per capita. And it's what I heard just recently. So we should not mourn these people who died. We should rejoice for them that we had such brave people that would do this to keep us free. So
very well said. And yeah, and I thank you for your service. You were in the Air Force, right?
Yeah, I didn't quite make it a career. Friends of mine said I didn't stay 30 years, so I only stayed 28. So
I feel
a bit of shame about that, but, you know, I did what I could.
Oh, well.
Jeff,
good job.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it, sir. And we only have about 30 seconds before we take a commercial break here. We have Elena waiting, and I want to give her plenty of time to make her comments. Again, our guest here in the studio this morning, Susan Campbell-Renaud. She's in charge of Memorial Day activities around Western Montana, and we're talking about that. Also, her special guest is David Lay, the commander of VFW Post 209 here in Missoula. So we're going to come right back, hopefully take more of your phone calls at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. This is Talkback on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Lucky Diamond Casino.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back. This is Talk Back on this Friday, May 22nd. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Susan Campbell-Renaud and her special guest, David Lay, here in the studio for Memorial Day. Elena is waiting on the phone. Elena, go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you, and thank you to everybody who fought for our freedom, whether you had a uniform on or not. And I want to give special thanks to three people who introduced me to those people in Montana and a new way of life. And also, I met Susan through one of them. Those three people are, of course, Dick Motta and John Rice. And he's still out there kicking and a great guy, Wally Sept.
Uh-oh.
And again, thank you to everybody and them for preserving our freedom, and that's important. Thank you.
Yeah. Elena, thanks for the call. Okay, let's take it. David, the floor is yours, sir. So tell us what you got.
I appreciate you guys having me here today to talk about the amazing work that Missoula's got going on with our veterans. I just swore in as commander of Ole Beck VFW Post 209 last Wednesday, and the same night the post took the unprecedented step, and our entire membership crew, voted to surrender our liquor license and discontinue bar operations and open up our post, VFW Post 209, as a veteran community center. And so we recognized that younger veterans weren't resonating with the bar model, and a bar as the centerpiece of a VFW or a veteran organization doesn't promote the healthiest habits for veterans, and we were losing a lot of veterans to the bottle. And so we took those steps, and we were trying to change the culture there, renovate the place a little bit, and create a healthier, more welcoming space for veterans, their families, and community members.
How's the response going? Are you getting any pushback from this?
It was a unanimous vote on our side. When I talk with folks across the state, folks are a little surprised, and that's the first question we get, is that you'd have a hard time doing that where we're at. But it was made by our membership team. It was completely unanimous, and I think that folks are seeing the direction that the VFW and that some of these other veteran organizations need to take in order to meet veterans where they're at and to support them. And alcohol wasn't doing it. There was a time and a place where veterans needed a bar to escape the and find camaraderie and to escape the demons that they had. And therapy wasn't as big there. There weren't as many treatment options. The VA wasn't as able to accommodate and help veterans where they were. And so that was the best that we could do at that time. But as services have caught up, as the community and the nation has caught up, and veterans are starting to find different ways of healing and connecting with one another, the bar model is not really serving us anymore. So we are taking the step to see if we can innovate and be more creative and help veterans.
So, if alcohol is not going to be a big part of all this, mm-hmm. what other things are you promoting? What kind of activities, get-togethers, things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're thinking about this in kind of three parts. We'll take our plumbed and licensed bar side of things, and we'll open up a small coffee shop there, either ourselves or partner with a community partner in that space. And then we'll be putting in a small gym in the back and bringing in some wellness programming. Missoula, for all the flack it gets across the state, is a leader and an innovator on veterans wellness and healing. Mm-hmm. And we have a very decentralized veteran support community here in Missoula. You got everything from Project Healing Waters, fly fishing, to veterans yoga, to Tai Chi. You got meditation workshops. And so we're going to start looking at bringing in some of those. And it's, you know, we do get some looks when we talk about this with folks across the state, veterans yoga. But it provides some healing that veterans really need.
Allow me to say, as the son of two Marines, and my dad was retired as a light colonel in the Marine Corps, he was in three wars, right? And so he was in World War II at the tail end. He was in Korea, and then he spent some time in Vietnam as well. And there were times I would like to talk to my dad about what he went through. He simply refused to talk about it. Yeah. And that was really, I didn't understand because I was just a kid, right? Mm-hmm. But now that I'm older, as old as I am, I understand some of that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is what drove that generation of veteran to the VFW, is that was the only place that they were able to connect with other veterans and talk about that. But our bar receipts and our profit and loss statement for a bar wasn't showing that veterans were coming to the VFW for that anymore. And so we wanted to change with the times and meet veterans where they're at. And so in addition to that wellness or fitness program, I know wellness sounds kind of woo-woo, but in addition to having a gym and some exercise groups there, I mean, the VA Thatcher Center out there on Broadway just lost funding for some of its senior veteran exercise groups. And so you had 20 to 30 veterans that were going out there three times a week, exercising and moving. And it was the only social activity that a lot of them were getting during the week. So we're excited to bring some of that stuff in-house to the VFW, bring in some different groups. And then we'll also be putting in a conference room and a couple meeting rooms up front where you could schedule an appointment, talk therapy with a VA counselor, where you could schedule an appointment with a benefits officer and get enrolled in the VA. We could, we're talking about having AA, NA groups, military sexual trauma, TBI, talk therapy, support groups.
Just, bringing it's things. Really cool.
Yeah.
I would imagine that, again, being part of a military family, it's tight-lipped. You just don't talk about stuff. I mean, you bury it, you swallow it. That's the man's way, all that kind of stuff. And we found out as we went forward that is very, very dangerous. And it's very important for anybody who's been, especially a combat veteran, to be able to find a place like the VFW, to be able to hang out with people that have similar experiences, and they can talk about that.
Well, and here we are coming up on Memorial Day, and this is something to really look forward to for the people who are living to cope with the people that they lost when they were in combat. It's I'm really proud of them. Really proud of the VFW Post 209.
All right. And again, we're talking with Susan Campbell-Renaud about Memorial Day activities. And, of course, David Lay is joining us here from the commander of VFW Post 209. And we are going to take a quick break here in just a moment and get the crime report. And I know Nick is going to be on the phone right now with our county attorney. Nick, how's it going?
We got to say goodbye to Susan.
You guys are done. I'm sorry.
Oh, we're done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing all this.
Emphasize, email me at bluemountain@montana.com or check out the KGVO and Town Square Media website for the complete crazy 12 ceremonies on May 25th.
Thank you. We're gonna come right back. Stay with us, everybody, and thanks for joining us on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Hey, it's Peter. Hey, we are. Hey, welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. Good to have you along. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. It's time for the crime report. And so we appreciate our county attorney joining us this morning. Matt, how are you, sir?
Peter, I'm doing really well, heading into Memorial Day weekend, so it's always a good Friday.
You bet. So share with us the stats, if you would.
You bet. We had a relatively quiet week this week in Missoula County. So we always break down our cases from in custody, people that were arrested, and people that were out of custody. We filed 12 new felonies this week, but only 8 of those were from arrest. Now, that's half of last week. The week before, that was also 17. So we always have this kind of roller coaster ride on what's going on in Missoula County. And I wish I knew the reasons why, but it's up a couple weeks, and then it'll be down for a couple weeks. And then we filed 4 that are out of custody. And those are usually things that involve a little bit more investigation, or there were delayed reports, or they're a serious offense, but it didn't require an immediate arrest. But within our offenses this week, we had 6 violent crimes. So that's quite a bit proportionally to the 12 that we filed. 2 of those were family violence. Those were partner family member assaults or strangulation. And 2 of them were non-family violence. We did have 2 sex assault cases this week. A couple of the cases that I wanted to highlight were we had a lot of felony DUIs. We had 4 felony DUIs this week. One of these was particularly disturbing. There was an individual that was called in for being suspected of being intoxicated at a 7-year-old's baseball game where he was yelling at parents and coaches. And because law enforcement was called, they stopped his vehicle as he was leaving, and he was intoxicated, and that was his 5th DUI. He bailed out, and the next day he got another felony for violating an order of protection. And this is often the pattern that we see. We live in a really wonderful community. It's pretty safe, and almost everybody's law-abiding, but there really is a handful of people, I mean probably a couple hundred, that continue to commit crimes again and again and again. They're almost always related to drugs and alcohol. We know the patterns, and sometimes our system can't necessarily get our hands around folks that continue to engage in that behavior. Some of the other DUIs involve some really disturbing driving behavior, but boy, we've just got this really incredible law enforcement in this community that's often stopping these folks before an accident happens and doing everything they can to keep us safe. We did have two animal cruelty cases this week, too. This was actually a couple and one puppy, but really sadly, this puppy had 14 broken bones from the abuse that it was sustaining from its owners and had to be euthanized. And we see a lot of violence on humans and children, and every one of those tears at our heartstrings, but there's something uniquely disturbing about animal cruelty. And we prosecute those. Those are felonies when you hurt an animal to that level. And we luckily don't have a lot of these, but we probably have about a dozen a year that we have to deal with and really scratch our heads about how somebody could be so cruel and evil to a young animal like that. That kind of rounds out our report this week, and we're heading into Memorial Day weekend. We often see a lot of DUIs and some family violence coming off these long weekends. Almost everybody is out having a good time and celebrating, but sometimes that leads to some stress and frustration and alcohol and drugs, and so we know those patterns too. And coming up on 4th of July here in a little over a month, and just reminding some of those listeners to, you know, take it easy sometimes. If you're starting to get stressed out, find a different way to have an outlet for your anger, your emotions, and maybe watch the levels of alcohol consumption. And you do those things, and probably going to be pretty safe and not in a jail cell by the end of the weekend.
Well, now, Matt, go ahead, please, Nick.
Yeah, Matt, we got about 2 minutes left, but I just circling back to felony DUIs, because I noticed an uptick as well. How does your office handle those? Because for those that don't know, and most of our audience probably does, but a felony DUI is a fourth or subsequent offense. So, how seriously does your office take those? Because obviously that's a, you know, four-time offender there.
Yeah, we take them really seriously. First of all, statistics show that by the time you get stopped for DUI, you've probably driven drunk another 100 times. And so these folks that are getting stopped 4, 5, 6 times more than that in their life, we know that this is actually a regular pattern of their activity. They've already had chances to get some treatment, to not drive when they're drinking, and those haven't worked in the community. And so they go away to a DOC program for up to 13 months, get alcohol treatment, and then they're on felony probation. There are escalating penalties after that. That being said, even though we've done a lot to take DUIs seriously in our society, they can be some of the hardest trials that we have, because when people show up, they're often not exactly criminally minded. They're usually people struggling with addiction, and they're folks like me or you guys, and they're sitting there in trial, and jurors often feel really bad for them. We also can't tell the juries that they've had 4 or 5, so juries often think that this is sort of a one-off mistake, and that can be really frustrating for us. We do everything we can to prosecute them and hold them accountable and also get them treatment. You know, it's a combination of punitive stuff, but also trying to know that when these folks aren't drinking, they're usually law-abiding. And that is the source of the problems in their life. And if we can help them out and be sober, they can get back on their feet and be law-abiding members of society. We just hope we can do that before they hurt someone.
You bet. Matt, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much, and we appreciate the hard work you folks do, and thanks for sharing that information with us.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You bet. Thank you. And we want to encourage everybody. It is Memorial Day weekend coming up, and so we want you to be very, very careful. Please, please, especially on Monday, don't drink and drive. If you're going to celebrate, let somebody else do the driving, and you just relax and enjoy what's going to be a great, hopefully a beautiful weather weekend. So we're going to come right back after the top of the hour, and we've got much more coming up. Dylan Barbash is going to be joining us on City Talk. So stay with us here on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
That's new.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is, once again, it's the Friday, May 22nd edition of Talk Back, and we have City Talk today. And, of course, our good friend, Jenny Miriam, Communications Director for the City of Missoula. Hey, you're over there amidst that forest of microphones.
I'm buried over here. Good morning.
There you go. And we have special guests. We're going to talk about what the City of Missoula is doing to try to help people who are having a hard time finding a place to live, and especially the houseless population or the homeless population here in western Montana. And our guests are Dylan Barbash and Brian Caffrey. Dylan is the Built for Zero specialist. And so the first thing we want to know is, what is Built for Zero? And if you could describe that program for us.
Yeah, Peter, it's pretty jargony, Built for Zero. I don't like to use it a lot in kind of frame my job and
catchy,
what I do.
Though. It's catchy. Well,
yes and no. You know, it's okay. What is Built for Zero? Well, Built for Zero, it is a larger national movement by Community Solutions in particular. They're kind of the umbrella organization that started Built for Zero. And what they do is they work with different communities across the U.S. and Missoula joined on with Built for Zero in November of 2023. And as a, you know, community of providers, kind of houseless providers and partners across Missoula, we met and we said, what is our goal for Built for Zero? And Built for Zero focuses on functionally ending homelessness for one population at a time. Now, that doesn't mean that homelessness is done, right? We're never going to. That means we'd have to solve larger social systems on a national level. But
you gotta take this one bite at a time.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. So we focus on veteran homelessness, and our goal is to end it by November 11th, 2026. That's less than 6 months from now.
Right.
That is something that has been at the forefront of basically my job, is move that goal forward. And so, you know, I think it's an interesting one to work on. It's very good for me to have an end goal, but it's also I have it literally sitting behind my desk every day, just continuing to drive my work forward and think about it at the forefront of every day. And a lot of it involves bringing in our veteran partners and providers across Missoula, like Volunteers of America, VA, Veterans Affairs, and then Veterans Inc., as well as, you know, the Pavarello Center, and kind of different touch points across the system, whether it be Hope Rescue Mission or even just the homeless outreach team that goes and interacts with our houseless veterans. And so my job is to really get all these providers together. We meet every 2 weeks in our Built for Zero improvement team meeting spaces, and we talk about system changes. We talk about what is going on in our resource landscape, how we can best address it moving forward, you know, and what do we need to do to fill the gaps and needs of our system.
Now, do you have we've got about a minute before we have to take a hard break. So think about this during the commercial break. What are your specific goals and what kind of tools are you bringing to this project? Obviously, you guys have been doing this for a while. You're trained and you're working with veterans all the time. And so what are the unique challenges that you are facing and that veterans are facing, perhaps more than any other population that are trying to find a place to live? Or a place to exist here in Missoula. So, and by the way, our phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, you're listening to Talk Back, and of course, this is City Talk on the Montana Talks Radio Network. And of course, Jenny Miriam joining us here in the studio this morning, Communications Director for the City of Missoula. Brian Caffrey is the Intake Coordinator, and Dylan Barbash is the Built for Zero Specialist. And I really want to hear about what Built for Zero is all about when we come back from the break. Again, our phone numbers are 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Thanks for joining us on this on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Busy Bees Clean.
Dennis Bragg with the updated Town Square weather. Getting some better definition now on this forecast for the holiday weekend. Mostly sunny on Friday with a high near 73 degrees. Just light variable breezes. Looking for partly cloudy skies in the evening with a cool low around 42 degrees. Saturday will warm up. Mostly sunny again, topping out just under 80 degrees. Sunday turns even warmer and sunny with high around 81. Memorial Day looks good too. Highs around 80, but clouds increasing later in the day.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Talk Back, and again, it's City Talk, and Jenny Miriam joining us this morning from the City of Missoula, Communications Director, and we have Dylan Barbash, Built for Zero Specialist, and Brian Caffrey, who's the intake coordinator. Now, we're talking a little bit during the break about the challenges that veterans have. Missoula is a great town, but it's no different than any other town in Montana when it comes to helping veterans find housing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think veterans, inherently the military life is very uprooting. You're moving from one place to another. You might not know what you're doing from one day to the next. You know, there's also trauma that goes along with, you know, veteran service. As well as when veterans go to exit military service, there's not a lot of good reintegration programs into civilian life. How do I operate
Thanks
on a day-to-day
basis? Thanks for your service,
basis?
We'll see you.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's where there are organizations in Missoula that are here, which is a great reason why we're focusing on veteran homelessness. We have rapid rehousing at Volunteers of America. And I know, you know, Brian, you help out with that a lot, you know, a ton. So maybe you can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I would love to, Dylan. As Dylan was saying, Volunteers of America is a federally granted supportive services for veteran family program. And really what we do is Volunteers of America sees us as a housing first program. And we recognize that housing instability can bring a lot of other instabilities in life. And so when a veteran is enrolled in our program, we walk hand or side by side with the veteran to help either get them into housing or to prevent them from becoming homeless, whether that's rapid rehousing or homeless prevention. There's lots of things we can do. We can help them with housing applications. We can help them with reaching out to other organizations that might be able to help provide, you know, stability to those life insecurities, whether it's applying for SNAP benefits, applying for Medicaid, Medicare, seeing if they're eligible for VA benefits, seeing if they qualify for Social Security Disability Income or Supplemental Security Income. We just walk side by side with the veteran to try to help them get into housing or prevent them from becoming homeless in the first place.
Well, let's talk about how when a veteran comes home, right, and mm-hmm. when they come back to Missoula or Western Montana or wherever they come from, obviously they've served their country honorably, and so now are there ways for them to connect right away as soon as they get into Missoula? Okay, I know who to talk to, I know where to go because I need to find a place to live.
Yeah, they can come either into the office if they're able to. We're located at 910 Brook Street, right there in the Rose Park building off the corner of Brooks and Mount Avenue. Every second Wednesday of every month, I also attend Resource Access Day at the Missoula Public Library. There's other community resources that go there to the Missoula Public Library to try to offer their resources all in one area so veterans don't have to try to ping back and forth between different buildings.
Sounds like somebody's thinking about this.
Right. And then once a year, there's also Project Community Connect, where it's basically a resource access day, but on a grander scale. And it's once a year, and it's for the whole day, and lots and lots and lots of services all come to the Missoula Public Library to offer their services to just the generic public for anyone that might be interested or eligible.
So what is it that excites you the most about these programs? Obviously, you're both veterans, right?
Oh, you're not. I am not a veteran myself.
Okay, no, all right. But as a veteran, so what when you think about this, when your fellow veterans who are out there maybe struggling trying to find their path, how does that affect you personally when you begin to start working with these folks?
So I can't really say too much because I am not a veteran myself, but I do know that I personally have a drive to just help people in need. I have worked lots of jobs out there where it comes to just, it all boils down to helping those in need. And my goal is just to help veterans get into housing or to prevent them from becoming homeless in the first place, because they're in need. And I want to do what I can with, you know, my program, with my community, with my job, to be able to provide for them in whatever way we're able to.
All right. So Dylan, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brian spoke to it really well of, you know, I'm similar vein to him. I used to be the program manager at Montana Conservation Corps. I'm not a veteran myself, but all my work has been focused around helping people. I think what's great here in Missoula, you know, you mentioned kind of how did the people come into touch with these services. Brian mentioned a lot of what we have, and then there's also Veteran Affairs. We have a large Veteran Affairs Medical Center here in town.
Right.
We have two organizations that actually hold the Rapid Rehousing, which is the supportive services for veteran families here in Missoula. That's Veterans Inc. and Volunteers of America. And so we have robust veteran programs, all of which have front doors that you can walk into, all of which have phone numbers that you can call, and all of which have dedicated staff that are willing to and wanting to engage to help reduce veteran homelessness. And I think one thing I would also like to highlight here, you know, all of the efforts that we have done have also been aided by the Veteran Housing Fund at United Way of Missoula County. This is a flexible fund that we have used to significantly reduce veteran homelessness over the last 2 years. We started at 96 houseless veterans in February of 2023. As of April of 2026, we have 49 wow. houseless veterans on yes. our street. That's taken a lot of effort. It's a lot of our partners stepping up, like Volunteers of America, like Veteran Affairs, like Veterans Inc., our HOT team, the Poverello, Housing Montana Heroes. And I think it's been aided greatly in being able to have this veteran housing fund that, you know, you can donate to it at United Way of Missoula County. It's pretty easy to do so. And it helps fill the needs and gaps of our system. Sometimes these programs can't cover certain costs. So they call me, I operate the fund, and it's wide open.
Wow.
Hey, give me a ring. Let's try to problem solve. It allows us to get creative and allows us to think on how we can actually keep tackling this, so that we can keep reducing veteran homelessness.
I would imagine that there are hundreds, maybe hopefully now we're statewide audience. There are thousands of people out there with veterans who are in their family, and sometimes they struggle. And I think everybody wants a way to try to help them. And the organizations that you're talking about here, especially locally throughout the state, I mean, there are probably veterans organizations in every city or town in Montana that are there to help veterans exactly like you're trying to do and talking about on the radio here on Talkback. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, come right back, and we'll be hopefully talking with you folks on the Montana Talks Radio Network right after this. Please stay with us.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. These numbers won't give you a lot of confidence to avoid a drunk driver as you travel this holiday weekend, but they do illustrate at least one factor tied to accidents and other issues caused by booze, as Tracy Taylor explains.
A new report shows Montana ranks among the top states in the nation for alcohol spending. According to the study, Montana came in 10th with adults spending an average of just over $1,000 a year on alcohol. Alaska topped the list at more than $1,200 per person annually, followed by our neighbors in Wyoming and Colorado. Utah ranked last, largely due to the state's strict alcohol laws and tighter regulations on liquor sales. Researchers looked at average yearly alcohol spending per adult across the country. Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
If you've ever dreamed of running your own business, buying an existing one might be your fastest ticket to success, especially right here in Montana. A new national study by Clarify Capital ranks the Treasure State number 9 in the country for buying a business this year. Researchers looked at things like economic growth, loan access, and how many businesses actually survive past the 5-year mark. Montana scored especially high for its business-friendly tax laws and fast-growing population, which means a steady stream of new customers, of course. While southern states like Florida and South Carolina took the very top spots, Montana easily beat out its neighbors, with Wyoming landing near the bottom of the list. Eastern Montana taking a giant leap forward in its future of energy storage. According to coverage by the Billings Gazette, NextEra Energy Resources officially announcing plans to build a massive 100-megawatt battery storage facility just outside of town. Company reps laid out the details during a big meeting with the Yellowstone County Commissioners this week. The project will be built on Shorey Road. Officials say it'll help capture and store extra power, making the local electric grid much more reliable during peak hours when everyone is blasting their air conditioning or their heat. This is the Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
As a parent, you said you'd never give up the convertible.
Look, the van even has its own backing.
You said you'd never stop listening to your music.
Do your happy dance, do your happy dance, yeah.
You said you'd never schedule your life around a stuffed animal.
Nobody panic. Bun Bun is still at daycare.
You said you'd never give in to demands.
Two kids meals. And a chocolate shake.
And never put them in harm's way.
I'll be right back, little man. Just gonna pop in the store for diapers.
But never happens. And no amount of time is okay to leave your child in a car by themselves.
Long line today.
Temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left behind. So always bring them with you every time you park the car. Stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, we are back, and this is Talk Back on this Friday, May 22nd. It's City Talk. Jenny Miriam joining us here in the studio. She's the communications director for the city of Missoula with her special guests, Dylan Barbash and Brian Caffrey. And we have Jim from Kalispell who's been waiting through the break. Jim, good morning. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hi, Jim. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. I really appreciate the work you guys are doing, but I wonder, can we get to the core of this? And why doesn't the military work a little harder to transition these guys out of the military and into jobs instead of just cutting them loose? Because we all know the main driver to join the military in the first place is poverty. That's why these guys are joining. And I would think that the military would have some responsibility in transitioning these guys into the civilian world and working with private organizations like yourselves so that we don't end up where we are today.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. Gentlemen, good question. Please go ahead.
Hey, Jim, thanks for calling in. You know, honestly, I will say that the military funds a lot of what we're talking about, a lot of these services that were brought up here today. You know, they're funded through the federal government, through the VA, and you know, it's grants out to different community partners and organizations. I think we can always do more work on helping people get integrated. And, you know, and I know that there's a lot of peer support work from veteran to veteran that's going on across our country as well. But, you know, at least the funding mechanism comes from the military. There's always more work to be done, but they are helping out in the funding capacity.
I would imagine that when you're working with veterans, each one's an individual, obviously, but they've all had a similar experience with the military. And so I would hope that they would be able to feel comfortable coming to an organization like yours and say, hey, I served, you know, X amount of years, I retired or was mustered out as whatever my rank was, and have some common ground to talk with before you even get into the whole problems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's always helpful when other veterans are talking to veterans, you know. But I think that we also, a lot of the organizations that we work with, and maybe, Brian, you could speak on Volunteers of America behalf at least, but it is, you know, we go through trainings on how to engage with veterans, and we make sure that kind of we understand the different triggers and backgrounds of each veteran. And it's also, it's like you said, it's individualistic. Not every case is the same, and really, it's about just talking to a person and understanding that and giving that person room to navigate how they need to.
Starting with a fresh sheet of paper, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's different. We have Jeff waiting on the line. Jeff, good morning. You're on with our guests, Dylan and Brian. Go ahead, please. Hey, Jeff, are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead. Go ahead, please. My problem. Go ahead, Jeff. What's up?
Hey, good morning again. Two things. First of all, military does do things to try to transition people to civilian life. I don't want folks out there to think that, oh, it's you discharge paperwork, you get 214, and you're out. They have a whole program called Transition Assistance, and that allows people to understand what resources are out there and what to do to go from military service to civilian life and some of the pitfalls and different things. And then each service has different things that you can do as well. That I know the Army has programs to transition a lot of vets to becoming teachers. And this is one program. So I don't want to have a misconception that it's just an uncaring military. Brothers and sisters in arms take care of each other. A lot of it's left up to the individual. Second of all, before I get cut off here, is I haven't heard any mention about the DFW or the American Legion in terms of your resources. And have you reached out to them?
All right, go ahead, please, gentlemen.
Yeah, we have, you know, to answer that last question, yes, we have worked with the VFW American Legion and Elks Lodge. You know, Elks Lodge is a great partner. They got some property in town that they like to elevate veterans. And I think to your point, you know, yes, I do. I don't want to spread the misconception that there's no reintegration programs. I think what we commonly hear is that, you know, I wish there were more, or I wish it was a little more robust. But I don't think that, you know, there are reintegration programs. It's just, I also think to your point that veteran to veteran support, that's huge. And that, you know, that's something that that a lot of veterans lean on and that they can get access to at the VA medical centers and also different VA programs.
Does that help you, Jeff?
Okay, great. I'm coming down Evero, so I think I'm going to get cut off. But I just think it's kind of like AA. You know, two drunks separate couldn't stay sober, but together they could. Mm-hmm. And I think getting veteran organizations involved is a good way to, again.
All right. Jeff, we just lost you, but thanks for the call. We're 30 seconds away from a break. And by the way, we're talking about Built for Zero, and we're trying to find housing for veterans here in Western Montana, specifically in Missoula. And, of course, we have Dylan and Brian both here with us, along with Jenny Miriam. This is City Talk, and when we come back from the break, Susan is waiting with a comment or a question for you gentlemen. And our phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Thanks for joining us for Talk Back here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. So we'll be right back after this quick timeout.
Talk Back is smiles are powerful. A simple smile can light up a whole room. And for 25 years, Smile Train has been lighting up the world with smiles. And each smile marks a step towards a brighter future. As the world's largest cleft lip and palate charity, Smile Train has supported more than 2 million life-changing cleft surgeries in over 90 countries, leaving a legacy of resilience, joy, and beaming smiles for generations of children. To learn more about cleft lips and palates and how Smile Train is supporting the cleft community all over the world, please visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, lighting up the world with smiles for 25 years.
Life is full of moments. From first steps
First loves, moments that make life special. And life can also bring us difficult and disruptive moments like a cancer diagnosis, which is why the groundbreaking work of Stand Up to Cancer is so vital. They know the problem of cancer won't be solved by one doctor, one lab, or one hospital. It takes collaboration. That's why Stand Up to Cancer brings together top minds from different fields to find new and better treatments so patients can thrive. So when it matters, we can all show up for moments of a lifetime. Please join Stand Up to Cancer and Myrtle Beach to help families get back to where they belong, making new memories for years to come. Please go to standuptocancer.org to see how you can join the mission.
This is our shared heritage, but today we're divided, except for our love of wildlife and wild places they and we call home. We are closer than you think. Learn more at defenders.org.
We are back. This is Talk Back, and it's City Talk. Of course, Jenny Miriam joining us here in the studio this morning, along with Dylan Barbash and Brian Caffrey. And let's get Susan back on. Susan, you're back. What's your comment on today's topic?
Well, I think it's wonderful that we are looking for housing for veterans, but I assume that it's not just the veterans, that it's also the family of the veterans, because veterans usually come with family members. And I want to ask also, is the element of this program also to address mental health issues? Because in Missoula, we have a VFW post that's going to shut down their bar and open up their space for veterans to come and talk and have people come in and help them, as opposed to drinking. And I would like to, I mean, we're coming, this is Memorial Day weekend, and this is when people drink, and which is a really bad option. So I'd like to have you folks comment on whether this program only, I guess, as the daughter of a veteran and a wife of a veteran, I always get a little bit annoyed that it's always about the veteran, and it's never about the families that come with the veterans. And I want to make sure that this program also helps the family.
Susan, thanks for the call. Gentlemen, please.
Yes, thank you, Susan. This is Brian Caffrey, the intake coordinator with Volunteers of America here in Missoula. So I can speak a little bit about that. So we are mostly a, you know, veteran supportive services for veteran families program. But that also does include the veteran household. So if there's a veteran and his wife, and they are suffering homelessness or about to become homelessness, we do offer support for that veteran family if they qualify for our services. Or if it's, you know, a veteran and he or she have kids, same thing, we can help support that family. But it's just the veteran and the veteran household. So if there's a member that has a veteran family member, but they're not a part of the household, that is one of the limitations of our program. But that is also why we build such big, like, community connections. So if there is a chance where we're not able to assist or connect, we know someone else who might be able to, and we can help reach out to those other supportive services to help.
Let's try to get another call in before we take a break. This is Levi. Levi, good morning. You're on with Dylan and Brian. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks so much for what you guys are doing. I'm calling because my ex-partner, she's a veteran, and she's living in a house that's owned by a man whose father was a veteran. His name's Bud Moore, and she's really proud of him. He has a lot to do with the firefighting in Montana, and this gentleman that owns the home is very excited about telling everybody his dad's a veteran. But he's raised the rent to $2,800, and he continues to raise it, and that's extremely unaffordable. And is there anything that, like, someone can do to be like, hey, could you not kick this person out so they're not homeless? Because this is outrageous. He has multiple homes and all. I just don't really understand this part of it.
All right. Thanks for the call. That's got to be a common problem, especially in Missoula right now.
Yeah, you know, we're hearing about this stuff more and more. And, you know, thanks for bringing it up. I think one thing that we can do, one thing that I've done a lot of, is a lot of landlord engagement. Even at the City of Missoula, we started a new landlord engagement pilot program specifically to get ahead of issues like these. Rent is continuing to be raised in Missoula. It's becoming more and more unaffordable. And a lot of the times, when you look back at that and you look at, you know, man, our landlord is raising the rent, how much good kind of relationship building has been focused on with that landlord of really just coming to that person to person and trying to have a realistic conversation of what they can afford. And I know sometimes people also just want to raise the rent because they're feeling financial pressure themselves. And in that case, then I would love for that veteran to try to reach out to some of the organizations in our town, because we know certain landlords that are keeping the rent affordable and that can, make it so people can sustain rent on their own.
All right. We're coming up against a commercial break. And phone lines are open, by the way. Our guests here, Dylan Barbash and Brian Caffrey, we're talking about the Built for Zero. And we're basically talking about Built for Zero homelessness for our veterans. And that is the overall goal. So if you'd like to get involved and ask a question, maybe you've got a veteran in your family who's experiencing homelessness, hey, give us a call. They might be able to help you out. 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 is our number. We'd love to have you be a part of Talkback this morning on this Friday, May 22nd, here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
All right, welcome back. Talk back, everybody. Good to have you along on this Friday, May 22nd. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, producing Talk Back, taking your phone calls this morning. Jenny Miriam is the communications director for the City of Missoula, and she arranges City Talk. And we have Dylan Barbash from Built for Zero, a specialist, and Brian Caffrey, who's the intake coordinator. And so we were just talking about that. So, Brian, if you wouldn't mind sharing that for us.
Yeah, I would love to.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would love to talk about kind of my role as the intake coordinator for Volunteers of America. My job is kind of to be that front face, that first person to meet the veteran or the veteran household if they are experiencing, you know, an episode of like homelessness crisis or about to become homeless crisis. And I first, you know, meet with them, do the intake pre-screening, and to see if they're potentially eligible for our services. And really what makes someone eligible for our services is we look at what are called our three pillars of eligibility. We look at veteran status, we look at housing situation, and then we look at income. And as long as they meet those three pillars of eligibility, that's when we move forward with our enrollment process. We do a little bit of documentation gathering just to prove eligibility. And then as long as everything is all good, then I get them on my schedule. I do that enrollment. And then we're kind of off to the races. They're working with our service coordinators. If they're homeless, they're working with our service coordinators to do housing applications. If they're already housed and they're about to become homeless, then they meet with our service coordinator to work with their landlord to see if they're able to stay in their housing. Maybe they got behind on rent and they got like a pay or vacate notice. And if potential, then we can help maybe pay those arrears so they don't have to become homeless and they can stay in their housing. But that's kind of my role. That's my job at Volunteers of America. And I kind of love being that first person to kind of meet that veteran household, and try to see what we're able to help them with.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think, you know, what I wanted to hop in here and say is, you know, not everybody...
This is Dylan, by the way.
Yeah, this is Dylan. Sorry, y'all.
Go ahead.
Not everybody is eligible for these programs. And I think, you know, I mentioned it earlier, but this is why I would like to elevate this Veteran Housing Fund at United Way of Missoula County. If someone is not eligible and they are a veteran and they have any proof of service history, guess what? They're eligible for this housing fund.
Great. That's awesome.
And what that can mean, you know, there's not a ton of funding in there right now. We spent a lot of it because we've reduced veteran homelessness a lot. We're seeking more funding even. If you're willing to, please go to United Way of Missoula County's website. You can find it under Veteran Housing Fund on their donation webpage. But what I want to bring it up in the sense that, you know, not everybody's going to be eligible or check all the boxes for whether it be, you know, Veterans Inc., Volunteers of America, Veterans Affairs Medical Center, or the Veteran Affairs HUDVASH programs, the Housing and Urban Development, the Permanent Supportive Housing Vouchers that the Veteran Affairs offers. And if you're not eligible for any of those, guess what? You're eligible for the Veteran Housing Fund. If you're a veteran and you self-identify as one and can show proof of any service history, and we can try to find a solution. Just the other, you know, the other day I talked with a veteran that, you know, we use the Veteran Housing Fund to buy tires for him to go to treatment in Oregon. He is in housing, has a job, and is stably in housing in Oregon to this day. And, you know, he wanted to leave the state, so he really wouldn't have enrolled in any program, but he needed some help. He didn't have any income. He was going to go to treatment and working on a job. And so him and I talked, and I bought new tires for him.
So there's some flexibility there.
There is incredible flexibility right there. Well, I mean, there is no... I would say no unallowed expense other than, you know, it needs to get them closer to their housing journey, right? If somebody asked me to buy them a hot dog, probably not going to do it. But if somebody asked me to buy them a gift card because they need some home furnishings, or if somebody's going to, you know, reach out and say, hey, we worked with an individual that was getting into an assisted living facility. Mm-hmm. It's a big deposit.
Yes, it is.
$5,000. No program could really cover that amount, and we did. We did with the Veteran Housing Fund. We got that person into an assisted living facility, which is quite a big barrier to overcome.
Now, are there a lot of organizations that you work with that you're able to, forgive the term, cobble together solutions for people, like a little bit from here, a little bit from there, that they wouldn't be able to do on their own?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to tell a story here. This individual just got written up in the Missoula Current, but this individual came to Missoula from Seattle. He got priced out of his house, and his brother lived here in town. He came here, his brother ended up moving, and he needed a safe place to land in Missoula. He was a veteran. He landed in what's called the Housing Montana Hero programs at the Poverello. There he got to stabilize, work a little bit on some health issues that he had, and then also focus on getting a job. After that, he was ready to kind of find housing. And he signed up with Volunteers of America, who was able to offer him a deposit, as well as a portion of his rent, and he also got with Veteran Affairs, who covered 70% basically of his rent. He had to cover 30% of his income went to his rent. So he was able to get connected to Veteran Affairs, the Poverello Center with Housing Montana Hero Programs, and Volunteers of America to pay a deposit and get some move-in kit items. The house that he rented, I used the Veteran Housing Fund to just take it off the market. I kept hearing about people, hey, Missoula is so tight in housing. Well, we have money. I called property management companies. I want to shout out Adia. They've been great to work with. And they said, okay, as long as you sign a lease, United Way of Missoula County was willing to sign a lease. That was a bit risky because, you know, they sign a lease and they trust that we're going to get someone in there. And so we sent them Adia people and they approved somebody. This individual was one of those people. And all of these different organizations came together to get this individual into housing.
I'm hoping that all these the individual who got the housing is sending out thank you letters, a lot of thank you letters to these folks, because it's hard work getting all this done.
Sure. You know, I think the biggest thank you is he continues to engage whenever I reach out. He always responds, and he is open and up for anything. And I think, you know, I don't necessarily need a thank you. I think I want someone to walk alongside us and be able to tell a story to help kind of spread awareness about this. And that's what this person did.
All right. Our by the way, phone lines are open. If you have a question for Dylan and Brian and Ginny for City Talk, we're here for another, about 12 minutes or so. We'd love to hear from you if you have an idea or a thought or a comment or a question. The phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, this is a talk back on the Montana Talks Radio Network, and our guests, again, our Dylan Barbash, who's the Built for Zero specialist. And we're talking about Built for Zero homelessness. That's what it's all about. And Brian Caffrey also joining us. He's the intake coordinator for the organization. So if you have a question or a comment, now's the time because it's fleeting away. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Hey, it's Peter from my... Hey, we're back on Talk Back on this Friday, May 22nd. Peter Christian here. Phone lines are open, by the way, if you'd like to get in on the action here in the last 7 minutes or so with our guests, Dylan Barbash and Brian Caffrey. We're talking about the Built for Zero program, and of course, it's all about homelessness. So let for those who may have just joined us, let's recap a little bit, if you don't mind, please.
Yeah, the Built for Zero program in Missoula, it's a collection of veteran providers and partners across Missoula, and we're focusing on trying to functionally end veteran homelessness by November 11th, 2026. And what that means is basically we're not going to end homelessness, but we get our numbers down to a certain point that whoever becomes homeless, we can quickly serve them and get them into housing.
And the whole idea, I imagine information is power here, because if you don't know who these people are, you obviously can't help them.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the Missoula Coordinated Entry System. That means, and this is, you know, this is for all kind of houselessness across Missoula, Ravalli and Mineral County, really. But in Missoula, you know, if someone accesses a front door, if they call the VA, if they engage with Volunteers of America, if they go to Hope Rescue Mission, they get entered into our database, the Homeless Management Information System. And that helps us track who's coming in, who's leaving, right? And it's on us to make sure we enter information into that system. I talk with Brian here probably daily, maybe every other day, about, you know, who's getting into housing, who's he talking to, and making sure we track that so that, like you said, information is power. We want to make sure we know who the people are. And we have a 90%+ reliability rate on our data of who is on the street right now.
All right. So when it comes to numbers, do you have a number of people, or is this, obviously there's an ebb and flow?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have, you know, like I said, we had 96 actively homeless veterans in February of 2023. And as of April 2026, we have 49.
Wow.
Really, awesome. I think we're trying to cut that number in half again. And I think then we could, you know, say, hey, we can serve who's coming into our community, whether it be through our Housing Montana Hero programs, our supportive services for veteran families at Volunteers American Veterans Inc., or the Veteran Affairs Medical Center and their team over there that focuses on veteran houselessness. So I think we're really trying to cut it in half again. If I can get to a number of 25, around that number, somewhere around that, and it's going to take more, but we'll keep pushing.
All right. So Brian, let's talk about as intake coordinator, your job is to help bring people into the program, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. My job is to try to help people get into the program for the Volunteers of America Supportive Services for a Veteran Family Program. And I kind of already touched up about it. But basically, really what we look for is we're looking at just the veteran status. We're looking at housing status and income status. And as long as the veteran or veteran family meets, you know, the criteria for our eligibility,
we have about 3 minutes left. Yeah. What are some of those criteria?
So one of the criteria for housing status is the veteran or veteran family, they do have to be either literally homeless or about to become literally homeless. And the about to become literally homeless is our homeless prevention program. And that could be in the form of a 30-day pay or vacate notice or just a vacate notice in general. And then when it comes to income, we're really looking just to make sure that the veteran household doesn't make over the 80% area median income, which is very hard to do. And all the intakes I've done, there have been a couple of people close, but not many people have been over that 80% area median income for the household size and for the county that they're residing in.
And if they do go over, what happens then?
So if they go over, depends. So really the biggest thing that we can do if someone is over that 80% area median income, if they're looking for housing and say they already have housing identified, you know, and they need help, we can do a security deposit if housing has already been identified,
right,
and they're over that 80% area median income. But when it comes to anything else that we're able to do for the household that's over, I would have to double check with my supervisors to see what we can do.
Here's what we're going to do. We have less than 2 minutes left. How about some contact information for both of you gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So for Volunteers of America, if you want to look online or give us a call, you can go to voanr.org, or you can give us a call at 844-4-VOA-VET.
Got it. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
For me, give me a ring. I'll give you my phone number. My email is too long and complicated. So give me a ring. It's 406-552-6386. If I don't answer, leave a message. I'll get back in touch with you.
All right. You guys do vital work in this community. I just want to say thank you for, and Jenny, thank you for bringing these individuals here, both Dylan and Brian, to share their stories. We appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, Jenny. All right, there she is. All right, Mr. Nick, as we look forward to Monday, go ahead, please.
So Monday we will not be here, so we'll have a best of show. It'll be Dr. Peter Kolb and Sandy Perrin will repeat that show. But on Tuesday we'll be back live. First segment we'll spend with Montana Highway Patrol Colonel Kurt Sager talking about the 100 deadliest days of summer. And then the last half hour of that hour, it'll be Riley Neal. She's a Democrat running for Montana's U.S. Senate seat. And then 9 to 10, it'll be Econ 101 with the Missoula Economic Partnership.
Always a busy time on Talkback. And again, thanks to our guests today, Dylan and Brian, and of course, Jenny Miriam. We appreciate you as well. Get out there and make it a great weekend, everybody, and celebrate Memorial Day very safely. We appreciate that. Don't drink and drive. Again, don't drink and drive, please. All right. And we will talk to you again Tuesday right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Have yourselves a great and a safe holiday weekend, everybody.